Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Three people dead after a shooting in Kentucky. We have the story.
Search efforts continue after the Texas flood. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. A man is dead after an apparent hit-and-run incident in West Wichita over the weekend. That story is ahead.
Two victims and a suspect are dead after a shooting at a church in Lexington, Kentucky.
A suspect got into a confrontation with a state police trooper at Lexington's Bluegrass Airport. The trooper got shot and hurt. The shooter carjacked a vehicle and wound up at Richmond Road Baptist Church, where he shot and killed two women. City Police Chief Lawrence Weathers got emotional while speaking to reporters.
Sometimes things happen. We just don't have a reason why. But we're going to be here for the people of Lexington.
The suspect was also killed, but police aren't giving full details about what happened yet. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Search and rescue efforts back on in Kerr County, Texas, after crews are trying to find more victims of the July 4th flooding. However, more rain in the region is making the efforts even more of risk. Fox Weather's Katie Byrne in Kerrville with the latest.
Colt Lee is on the ground volunteering in the search. He says any rain is a setback in this massive recovery effort.
There's a possibility that the erosion can, you know, move some things around and make some things more discoverable that might not have been. But generally speaking, it is just a hindrance at the moment, you know, because it does pause everything.
Thousands of responders have been looking on land and in the water for more than a week, desperately trying to reunite families with their loved ones. Some light in so much darkness. Among the vast volunteer effort, two little girls raising money for flood victims with a lemonade stand. They gave it to a couple they never met before, Katie and Bud, who lost neighbors, their home, and everything they own, all swept away.
At least 129 people are dead, another 170 still missing. President Donald Trump toured the region last week.
A 41-year-old man is dead in an apparent hit-and-run incident.
It happened around 12:45 a.m. Saturday. Wichita police responded to a call at Kellogg and Tyler and found the man on the eastbound on-ramp to Kellogg Drive from Tyler Road. He had significant injuries to his head and was pronounced dead on the scene. Police believe the man was struck by a vehicle, which then fled the area. Police encourage anyone with information to contact detectives at 316-350-3672 or submit an anonymous tip through Crime Stoppers at 316-267-2111. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
One man was killed, two others injured when a car crashed into an electrical pole Saturday in El Dorado. First responders called to the intersection of Locust and Taylor. One vehicle was involved in this accident. Three people were in that car when it hit a utility pole. A 61-year-old man died at the scene. His name has not been released.
We'll get our first look at the city of Wichita's 2026 operating budget tomorrow.
The certified budget is projected to be just over $1 billion next year. This will be the first of four opportunities for the public to comment on the budget. The city council will also discuss funding for reconstructing the 29th Street North and Broadway intersection. The council will also consider whether the Crown Uptown Dinner Theater should be placed on the city's historical registry. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
KNSS News time now, 8:03, 3 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Dramatic finish for the Kansas City Royals before the All-Star break. We'll talk about that coming up in sports.
Nationwide gas prices are down. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News time now. 8:07, 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. And we've warmed up to 74 degrees so far this morning. Last week, the Sedgwick County Commission got a look at the proposed budget for 2026 for the county. County Manager Tom Stoles tells KNSS News.
We start the budget process internally. We started around Christmas time the year before, and then we involve the commission and citizens in earnest starting in about February. So we had a retreat with the commission in the middle of February this year. And from that point forward, we're in constant engagement with citizens.
The county commission will approve the budget August 20th. Tom Stoltz was our guest Sunday on Issues 2025.
Iran's foreign minister says his country is ready to resume nuclear talks with the United States, but wants assurances.
Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi says he wants no further attacks against his country guaranteed before accepting a resumption of nuclear talks with the U.S. In a speech to Tehran-based foreign diplomats this weekend, the foreign minister referred to the 12-day Israeli bombardment of Iran's nuclear and military sites and the U.S. strike on June 22nd. He said the attack on Iran's nuclear facilities has made it harder to achieve a solution based on negotiations. Following those strikes, Iran suspended cooperation with the U.N. nuclear watchdog, which led to the departure of inspectors. Angelo Bavaro, Fox News.
Gasoline prices fell a considerable amount the last couple of weeks. Oil industry analyst Trilby Lundberg tells us how much.
Gasoline prices have dropped 9 cents per gallon in the past couple of weeks, and the price for a regular grade now averages $3.22, and it's a big discount from a year ago, 39 cents lower now.
Lundberg says there is ample supply right now for the level of American demand, so she expects prices to remain fairly stable unless oil prices rise significantly. A big piece of another planet is up for auction.
It's a 54-pound chunk of the planet Mars, estimated to fetch $2 to $4 million when Sotheby's in New York starts taking bids on Wednesday. It's officially known as NWA 16788, and it's the biggest piece of Mars ever found on Earth. The meteorite is believed to have been blown off the surface of Mars by a massive asteroid strike before traveling about 140 million miles to Earth and crashing into the Sahara. A meteorite hunter found it in Niger back in November of 2023. Sotheby's says it measures nearly 15 inches by 11 inches by 6 inches. Paul Stevens, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:09, 9 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Traffic in the Wichita area right now starting to look a little bit better. The traffic volume's thinning out. We still do have a stalled out vehicle northbound on I-135 between Harry and Lincoln, and got some fairly heavy traffic right now around K-15 and MacArthur. So watch out there. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Sunny skies this morning, then just a few clouds this afternoon. A light southeast breeze under 10 and a high of 90. Becoming clear, overnight low 70. Sunshine and then a few clouds on Tuesday. Stronger south winds 10 to 20, high 92. 95 on Wednesday, partly cloudy skies. Could see a few storms on Wednesday night. Better chance of storms on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Now a clear sky, no wind. It's calm. In fact, it's been calm for the past several hours. 74 degrees now at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning on this Monday, July 14th. We had a partly cloudy day across central Kansas Sunday. Wichita's high temperature was 88 degrees, normal high for the date, 93. And it was on this date in 1948, a two-minute sustained wind speed reached 80 miles per hour at the Wichita Weather Bureau office. 2 minutes of 80-mile-an-hour wind. That blows just about anything away.
Wow. That's excessive.
And in 1954 on this date, Wichita set a July record high temperature when 113 degrees torched the city. Chanute and Salina also set record highs for the date. Chanute hit a hideously humid 115, while Salina sweated out at 113 degrees. So it was just a very hot day.
Still a lot of those old records around from 1954.
Wow. See, 812 now with Steve and Ted. It was 144 years ago in 1881 that William H. Bonney Jr., better known as Billy the Kid, was shot and killed by Sheriff Pat Garrett in Fort Sumner, New Mexico. And, of course, Billy the Kid's mother, her name was not Bonnie, it was Miss McClary or something like that. Anyway, she signed the charter for the city of Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
The only female signature on there was Billy the Kid's mom. That's interesting.
Pretty rich part of our history.
It is. Mm-hmm. Back to the day. 8:12 now, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And it appears, from what we're hearing, the postal rates are going to go up again. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown with us this morning. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
So, how much is it going up? Are the stamps going up?
They are. They went up, actually, technically, as of yesterday. Price of first-class postage went from 73 cents to 78 cents. So that is a nickel increase. Other rates will also go up a nickel, namely things like international postcards and the like, from $1.65 to $1.70. But the things that might cost more people more money are the increased costs that are associated with like per weight rates or size of boxes. You know, those are where things get more costly. And so anyone who has to send boxes through the Postal Service, you might find yourself paying a lot more. Starting yesterday, but it's part of a plan by the Postal Service to raise revenues over the next 3 years by raising rates every 6 months or so. So we could be having this conversation right after Christmas or right before Christmas again. Now the good news is, of course, if you bought a whole sheet or a bunch of sheets of forever stamps and you bought them a while ago, they still will be good. They will match the price of the current postage. So if you paid let's say 70 cents for them a while back, they're now worth the 78 cents. So you don't need to worry about using extra stamps or going to buy a bunch of small denomination stamps to make up for the difference. I remember back a long, long time ago when the stamp was 22 cents and they rose it to 25 and we all had to go buy 3 cent stamps to make up the postage. That's a while back, of course, but those things used to happen. But the forever stamps now mean that you've made an inflation-proof purchase of stamps.
Well, so how many the Postal Service moves a lot of mail. I mean, lot of items every day, by the probably millions or even billions. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, they move a lot of mail, and they move less mail than what they used to, which is part of the problem. We don't send our, monthly bills through the mail anymore. You know, we don't really do that. We pay them electronically. We don't really send too many letters in the mail. I get grandparents who send birthday cards. I think they're that's kind of normal, right? And they still include the $5 bill. Everyone else is just doing things electronically. I mean, even important documents are signed digitally now. Unless you're having to send a notarized copy of something to a court, you're probably not really sending it through the mail. The mail service also faces increased competition from things like UPS and FedEx. And the biggest sender of things is Amazon. Especially if you're in a rural or even, if you're in an urban or suburban area, they're likely delivering it themselves now through their own fleet of delivery. And soon they'll do it by drone. So that's business the Postal Service isn't getting. And then couple that with their own increased costs. Look, when the price of gas goes up, they still have to pay that, right? Three trucks. But they also have pension obligations to meet that were made. Those obligations were made a long time ago when more people were using the Postal Service. These are all compounding problems. And, everyone's going to take it a bit on the chin, I guess. But like I said, those forever stamps will still work.
22 cents, you remember that? I remember a 3 cent postcard. Whoa.
There you go.
Going back a ways. But, of course, in those days.
When I was a kid, I didn't even have a street address. I was rural free delivery route.
Wow. But those days, way back in the 50s, they were the only game in town. They were moving all the mail. Nobody else was competing with them. So there you go.
Right. And it became the envy of the world, really.
No one really
had a service. We did like we did. There's still parts of the world today where if you put something in the mail, it probably ain't going to get there. And if you're sending money through that mail, everyone who touches that envelope is going to take a cut of it.
okay. So, you
know, we don't really have that problem, gratefully, here. And it continues to be a pretty reliable service. I mean, I think there's a lot of jokes about mail service.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Ultimately, these folks do a great job, and they're very hardworking. But times are different, and that's economics have changed, and that's a very harsh reality for the old-fashioned postal service.
All right, Evan. Hey, thanks for being with us this morning. As always, we appreciate it. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown talking about the price of the stamps gone up about 3 cents each. 8:17 now. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Here on this Monday morning, it's time for a look at sports with Ted Woodward, sir.
Yeah, we'll start out with Major League Baseball. The Kansas City Royals, one more game before the All-Star break. Yesterday afternoon, 22,000 at the game at Kauffman Stadium. The Royals hosting the New York Mets. Royals trying to get a win to avoid getting swept in this series. And it was close. Came right down to the wire. It was a tie game in the bottom of the ninth inning. Left fielder Nick Lofton at the plate. You heard the game on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Here's the 1-2 pitch. And a line drive into left field for a hit. Here comes Tolbert around third. Here comes the throw home. And he is safe. Royals win it. So Lofton did it again. But Tolbert got the hit. Only his second hit of the year. And then the stolen base. So the Mets were able to rally with two in the top of the ninth. The Royals avoided the sweep with a run in the bottom of the ninth. So they celebrate in the shortstop position out there, and now they all can look forward to a few days off. But well done by the, in today's case, the substitute type players. It was Tolbert and Lofton that ultimately got the job done.
Yeah, Lofton coming off the bench to get the game-winning hit there. Royals beat the Mets 3-2, and that knocks the Mets out of first place going into the All-Star break. And the Royals got pretty nifty pitching from their starter, the rookie left-hander Noah Cameron, working 6 2/3 innings of scoreless work, 8 strikeouts. All right, the Royals head into the All-Star break with a win and a record now 47-50 on the season. Minor League Baseball, the Wichita Wind Surge kind of struggled at the end of the games before the All-Star break, losing 7-3. I went to the game yesterday afternoon at Equity Bank Park. Big crowd, 5,300 fans on hand on a hot Sunday afternoon as Wichita loses 5 straight heading into the All-Star break. Wind Surge now 9-9, only 2 games back for a playoff spot heading into the All-Star break in baseball. Let's go back to the Royals. The first 3 rounds of the Major League Baseball draft held yesterday, and the Royals had 5 selections among those first 3 rounds. The first player the Royals took was a position player out of a prep academy in Florida, 19-year-old Sean Gamble. He is committed to Vanderbilt. I'm sure the Royals will have enough money coming his way to change his mind on that. At number 28 overall, another prep infielder who is committed to Wake Forest. And then after that, 3 straight pitchers, a right-handed pitcher out of Tulane, a left-handed pitcher from Texas A&M, and a high school right-hander out of California who is committed to play for Arizona. So there's your Royals' first 5 draft picks. The next 17 rounds of the draft are today, beginning at 10:30 this morning, so the Royals will have many more guys on the list to go on throughout the day. Happy birthday today to former Kansas State men's basketball coach Tom Asbury is 80 years old today. 6 years as K-State's head coach in the 1990s, 1 NCAA tournament, 2 NITs. He never won a postseason game with K-State. Went 0-3 in those 3 games.
Wow.
He had 2 stints at Pepperdine. He was had a really good Pepperdine team in the early to mid-1990s, including that team that came to the Kansas Coliseum to play in the NCAA tournament in 1994. Former K-State coach Tom Asbury is 80 years old today, and a former infielder and coach for the 1982 Wichita Arrows, Pepe Frias, birthday. He is 77 years old today. Of course, he was a coach and player under manager Felipe Alou for the Arrows in 82. Pepe had come off a 9-year career in the big leagues, including 6 years with the Expos, and Played and coached a little bit with the Wichita Arrows in 1982. Pepe Frias, it's his birthday. He is 77 today. That's Sports with Steve and Ted, and Sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, and historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here.
8:22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean looks at what could happen in the New York mayor's election. That's coming up, Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 8:30 here on a Monday morning and 74 degrees. Two wildfires that forced people to evacuate the Grand Canyon are spreading. Fox's Chanley Painter reports.
Crews in Arizona are working to contain fast-moving wildfires in and around the north rim of the Grand Canyon. One of the fires has destroyed a historic lodge and dozens of other buildings, forcing officials to close access to the area for the season. Hot temperatures and low humidity are blamed for helping fuel the flames.
One of the fires began as a controlled burn before spreading rapidly. A visitor center, gas station, wastewater treatment plant, administrative building, and some employee housing near the Grand Canyon Lodge were also lost.
A 92-year-old woman died in a crash in Marion County Saturday after her vehicle collided with a semi-truck. The Kansas Highway Patrol reported the crash occurred at the intersection of U.S. Highway 50 and Nighthawk Road. 92-year-old Dorothy Conyers was a passenger of a vehicle going south on Nighthawk. The vehicle did not yield at a stop sign driving through the intersection. A semi-tractor driving east hit the vehicle.
The Wichita City Council plans to consider whether the Crown Uptown Dinner Theater be placed on the city's historical registry. City Manager Robert Layton says the city received an email Friday from the building's owner saying he objects to that move.
That was just filed today by the property owner. As of the report finalization yesterday, we had not received that. Just a reminder, that objection then triggers a requirement for a positive vote of five council members.
The council will take up the matter at tomorrow's meeting.
Last week, the Sedgwick County Commission got a look at the proposed budget for the coming year. County Manager Tom Stoles tells KNSS News what is concerning citizens.
We have this discussion every year, the role of government. What should we be in? What should we be out of? I think most taxpayers are concerned about safety and public safety and roads, you know, what we call the mission critical operations of government in general, city or county or state. They care about fire and police. They care about roads. They care about water.
The County Commission will approve the budget on August 20th. Tom Stoles was our guest yesterday on KNSS on Issues 2025.
Gasoline prices fell 9 cents over the last couple of weeks to a new national average of $3.22 a gallon. Oil industry analyst Shelby Lundberg does not expect prices to fall much further.
The somewhat moderately higher oil prices of the past several days will be ending the price cutting on gasoline, but may or may not cause a rise. We do have plenty of gasoline on hand, even though our demand is not particularly high, and pump prices will therefore maybe change very little in the near term.
Lundberg says one fact which could lead to higher worldwide oil prices would be potential Trump administration sanctions on Russian oil. Steve and Ted in the Morning, KNSS, 8:50 now on a Monday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Nationwide gas prices down 9 cents over the past 2 weeks to an average of $3.22 a gallon.
Two.
41-year-old man dead after a hit and run in West Wichita.
One.
Three people dead, including the shooter at a Lexington, Kentucky church. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Traffic this morning here in the Wichita area. Things right now getting a little bit back to normal. Things are looking pretty good out there. Not really seeing too many problems on the roadways or any slowdowns out there. So things looking good at the moment. Traffic update 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 90 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 58. And for Tuesday, sunny, tomorrow's high 92 degrees. Now a clear sky, calm, no wind, 74 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Weather is sponsored by The Monarch. New seasonal cocktails, perfect for the warm spring and summer weather at The Monarch. Check them out, The Monarch, 579 West Douglas, at the roundabout in historic Delano. Steve at 10 in the morning now here on KNSS. Another country is questioning a popular social media app's data storage practices.
Fox on Tech.
Another country gets a little ticked about TikTok's data. Reuters reports Ireland's Data Protection Commission is now investigating China-backed social media network TikTok over how and where it stores data, namely the data on its users. The app and its parent company called ByteDance recently admitted that data for European users of the video-focused social app had been stored on servers in China, a country that offers little to no protection of personal data from the allegedly prying eyes of the country's Communist Party. Irish regulators had already fined ByteDance more than a half a billion euros over data insecurity matters. The topic of where TikTok stores data is a factor behind the U.S. law demanding ByteDance sell the app to a U.S. operator or be banned from the U.S. market, a law President Trump has controversially delayed implementing, hoping to strike a deal to keep the app operating. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
Now the Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. A national commercial real estate investor known for revitalizing struggling commercial properties has acquired Twin Lakes Shopping Center at 21st and Amadon. An affiliate of Monami Real Estate purchased the large retail center this month with plans to revamp it and fill the remaining spaces with a variety of tenants, including small local businesses. Twin Lakes and its 193,000 square feet were on the market for $7.7 million, but the final sale price wasn't disclosed. Monami says Twin Lakes is currently 55% occupied, and the new buyer is working with Wichita's Reese Nichols South Central Kansas for leasing unoccupied spaces. And the general contractor for Dillon's has pulled a $1.3 million building permit for an overhaul of the Harry and Webb location in southeast Wichita. A Dillon's spokesperson says the renovation will create an easier-to-navigate shopping experience with particular upgrades in produce, floral, and deli. Work will begin soon and can be completed this fall. At the same time, a similar project is taking place at the Dillon's location at 31st Street South and Seneca. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
Today is Shark Awareness Day, celebrating the wondrous sea creatures that have had a bad rap for quite a while now. When you think of the dangers of the sea, sharks definitely make it on the list, because of the way they are depicted in movies and cartoons. However, Shark Awareness Day is not a day to cry foul at said innocent fish, but instead is a day of crying foul for them. In other words, the shark is mistreated, especially after they've chewed somebody's leg off in the ocean. Now, I have...
Did Jabberjaw write this copy for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Ted and I were on the same line there, Jabberjaw. Yeah.
Jabberjaw, well... I have... some loved ones in Florida right now, today, and I can just about guarantee you they will be in the water because they like to scuba, and I hope a shark doesn't bite them. So,
Jim, you're the one touting how great sharks are. You're on Shark
Awareness Day. I don't own the copy. I just read it. I don't have any agreement with that. I think sharks are bad. They've got a lot of teeth. They just go around biting fish and other things. I think they stink. But it is Shark Awareness Day.
Oh, okay.
We know there are sharks in the ocean.
That we know.
Okay. All right, fine. It's Monday. What do you expect? Thank you, guys. We'll start this all again yesterday or tomorrow morning. Glenn Beck program coming up with Steve and Ted. Trump says God saved him from the assassin's bullet. And our top of the hour news this morning, we had a shooting at a Kentucky church. And three people are dead. If you missed any of today's show, just want to listen again, check out the Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, Dana Lash, and other programming today. Steve at 10 in the morning, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita.
Hey, neighbor.